Right, you know what day it is. I'm not going to waste one breath. I am out to talk about Arkansas. All right, now if you can't stand it, turn the channel. But you're listening to BBSRadio.com, and this show is called Mission Possible Radio Show, and I am the boss, and I'm talking about Arkansas tonight. Arkansas, the wonder state. Arkansas. Oh, yeah. It's a kind of Mississippi, but it don't have no big claim to it, you see. But you swear to goodness you might even be in Mississippi. These people in Arkansas, histories and histories. When you think Arkansas, you think politics? Of course you do, because you're thinking about Bill Clinton. When you think Arkansas, you think Hillary. Yes, if you're not Stillery in mind control, because now you think New York. A lot of people think New York as if she always was there. Arkansas, a place of pride and friendly swagger. That's what John Gunther said. Oh, yeah, there is a competition between two states, Arkansas and Texas, running their thieves as who has the biggest everything. Well, Arkansas, it's your turn tonight. The boss is putting you under the microscope. Now, why would I be messing with Arkansas? Well, I'll tell you something, folks. I got a problem. That's right, the boss has a problem. I've had this problem for some time. In fact, I've had this problem since I ran Contra. I've been having this problem because I've been so good person, and instead of taking Reagan at his word that he was just a surprise, and then he came on the air and said he was a Contra, and then he had to admit to the fact that they was doing their due. They've been doing their due whether the Congress says they can't do their due, or they have found ways to do their due all over us, in spite of us, and create one big problem for us that the boss never liked. I says, okay, there's wars. There's all kinds of wars. But when you declare a war on drugs, you better mean it, you see. And when you find out that the ones who declared the war are the ones in the back room giggling about how much drugs they bringing into the country, you start to wonder. And when I was in San Francisco, I saw a change. Oh, yeah. All right, under the nose of Dianne Feinstein, but under the nose of Nancy Pelosi, but under the nose of Barbara Bach. I don't know what might have been under their noses or what they may or may not have been sniffing, but somebody was sniffing a whole lot of something back then because things changed. Now, you know, people, I am and can be quite entertaining, but I am taking no prisoners tonight. I am starting. I just love that sound. Oh, the boss just loves the beep. You know why I love the beep? Because that means there's somebody out there for me to talk to who is on the line.
Well, I don't know if you recognize the voice or not, boss, RJ, but this is Ohio calling.
Yes, I do, and thank you for calling Ohio. We're not going to be talking about Kent State tonight. No. We're not going to go all the way back there, but we are going to go back, are we not, Carol?
We are for a little bit. We're going to go back.
Okay, Carol, will you tell my listeners who you are and why I have you here today, tonight, that you are calling from, what is that? That's a long way off in terms of time.
A long way up.
And I want to thank you right off the bat for staying up.
Well, I just, you know, RJ, I'll tell your audience that you and I just really met today. And we had a conversation because you have an interest in someone who, I don't know how well your audience knows Larry Nichols. Are you and I the only two that knows him tonight?
Well, you know what you're going to do, Carol, right off the bat? You're going to tell people about this man. You can't do it. I want you to tell the people who this man is that we have in common.
Well, I'll tell you what. Where to start with Larry Nichols is, it's like, where do you start?
Wherever you'd like to.
Well, I'll tell you how I met him.
Okay.
And this was, I worked in a radio office. I was on radio. I learned about radio and became introduced to radio, live radio, AM, 50,000 watt station out of Cleveland, Ohio, Salem Communications, because I went to work for a man named Ernie Sanders, and it was Pastor Ernie Sanders, and he has had a radio program on Salem Communication, well, other networks, but it turned out to be Salem Communication, but he's been on live AM radio for 30 years. And so I started working in the office, and one day he said to me, "Why don't you come and sit in with me?" He said, "Well, are you afraid?" The way I looked at him, he said, "Are you afraid?" And I said, "Well, no, but, you know, I'm doing fine. I'm having a great time here in the office booking the guests and doing everything that I was doing." And so then I heard about this guy named Larry Nichols that was coming on with Pastor Sanders, who had been coming on with him for about 12 years, consistently once a week. And so while I was in the office working and while they were on the on live on the radio, I would turn it on. And I said, "Well, let me see who this Larry Nichols is." So I would turn it on and listen. Well, I wasn't really impressed at the beginning, RJ. I mean, okay, so, you know, and so, but I listened for a few weeks. And then Ernie Sanders said, "Well, why don't you just come on and," I said, "I'll tell you what. If I do come and sit in with you on any program, would it be okay if I sat in on Wednesday nights when this guy Larry Nichols comes on?" He said, "Yeah, fine." So that's how I got introduced to Larry Nichols. When I started sitting in the studio live when Larry would come on, you know what, RJ? I didn't have a clue where this man was coming from.
What was your first impression, Carol? I mean, because I know what you're talking about. What was your first impression when you heard what he was saying? Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm here. What was my first impression?
Yeah, when he was talking about what he was talking, I'm sure he was talking about it.
The Clintons.
Yes.
Yeah, and Arkansas and Mina and all of that, the Clinton Chronicles. But when I actually, at the time that he would talk about that and refer to it.
Uh-huh.
But at the time that I was sitting in with them, which, I started sitting in about, I guess this was 4 years ago, he was really talking more about Washington politics and all the honorable senators and honorable congressmen and honorable representatives and honorable Supreme Court justices. I found out they were not so honorable. And I was really crushed. Because I really thought these men were honorable, RJ.
Can I interrupt you for a second
ask
you, give me an example of somebody that he blew your mind about?
Well, the first thing he started revealing at the time that I came in this picture was, you're familiar with the oil for food scandal?
Yes.
Okay. This was all of this Washington, D.C. corruption and evil, RJ, was totally new to me. And so he started revealing all the people involved in the oil for food scandal, one of them being my honorable state senator, Mike DeWine. And then he would list, because, see, Larry has the FBI files in his home. Remember when Hillary, I think it was her first term in office, and all of a sudden there in the White House was the FBI files? And she had no idea how they got there?
Yes, yes, I do remember.
Okay, and I don't know if it was White House staff that found them, and it just happened, you know, just inadvertently got released to the press. I don't really know how that exactly got in the press, but sure enough, Hillary had no clue how these FBI files got in there. Well, the same FBI files that Hillary had in her home is now in Larry's home.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And
well, that'll certainly keep you alive.
Yes. And I mean, it's a big file, all right?
Uh-huh.
And so Larry started reading through it, of course, and started revealing the first thing that I was familiar with that he was releasing. And like I said, this was all new to me. All of this was just new. And, well, Larry Nichols was new to me and then hearing each week what he was having to say, and then releasing the oil for food. Oh, he dropped Arlen Specter's name and Orrin Hatch. And he told us how many millions that they had all received from the oil for food. 75 million, 125 million, all money's being laundered, all right? And he was, you know, saying this publicly. So let me see, where will I go from there? All right, so then I started dawning on
So that's around 2003, right, Carol?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes.
So now, so you have that going for you, because Larry is into right now, what is he doing right now? What is his biggest, before we get into any more history,
Yes.
where do we all fit in this? What does he want from us? Because that's what I want to give him.
All right. He wants to find enough people to band together to turn Washington, D.C., R.J., upside down. He promised them all in different hearings. He said he promised them all to their face, I'll get you all. And one by one, he does get them all.
That's really where I'm at.
Yeah.
My listeners who listened to me just last week, I'm into that. Because I don't think there's one that will escape the scrutiny of the terrible and awful things that are happening right now and are going to continue to happen if we don't back them up, if we don't put them in their place.
That's right.
And I think that what I want my listeners to know is that Larry Nichols is a very, very, very powerful and true righteous man.
Yes.
And that, me and you were talking this morning, and I said, what really grabbed me about him, aside from the fact that I had, in 1997, had already come about knowing him only through just the word, just his name, and seeing him being referred to in different depositions and things as I began to investigate the Clintons. And I started investigating the Clintons in 1992. So what you're telling me now explains where all our money's gone. And I think Larry knows that too. He knows exactly where America's money has gone and why the dollar is down below 70 now.
Yes.
You know.
RJ, he knows all of that, and he Larry Nichols is not a household name, as well known as he's known around the world to the world leaders. He's not a household name. He doesn't want to be a household name. Larry will just tell you, I do what I do.
Yeah.
He doesn't do it for honor. He doesn't do it for glory. He just does what he does.
So let's get back to you. So it's 2003. You chose. It's Wednesdays. You're.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me tell my technician. Is my technician listening out there? I don't know if it's you or me, but I need a little more volume on my side so that I can hear Carol. I'm not sure whether you hear me out there.
Yeah.
But if you do, and Carol, if you could speak up a little more, I'm going to try and turn my volume up on my phone here for a second. So you're listening to BBSRadio.com, and I'm talking to Carol, and we're talking about a man. We're kind of talking about a hero here, somebody that Boss RJ wanted you to know. So I'm going to take a minute, just a second here. Don't go anywhere. Keep talking. I'm just going to tell them something else. Tell them something interesting. Tell them what you're into, where you're going, what they need, okay?
Well, let me tell you, what is in Larry's heart, what makes Larry's heart beat right at the moment, right today, right tonight, is that he said, if we do not turn America around this year in 2008, and turn it around by voting in and voting out the ones that are down there and replacing them, this is our only chance. This is the only chance that he sees, RJ, for the salvation of America, to get it turned around. And he said, we've got to break the parties. We have to break the two systems. Because, and Larry has been preaching for the last 2 years on every program that he's gone on. He always encourages people to, first he had to start even introducing the idea of independence. We've got to break the two-party system because it is so very, very corrupt. They are so very tied together. They work together. They really are one.
Yeah, we saw that back in 92, that nice, neat campaign that Bush and Clinton ran as they changed hands because it just became impossible for George to do another 4 years. They needed to get into the office and clean it up. I know that Larry knows it's about litigation, and I know it might be hard, but I want you to tell me some of the other delicious things that you may have learned over a period of time, because then we're going to talk about how we can, as two people, get this great man to take over for a minute, and I'm hoping that you out there will like the idea of Don Nikoloff. I'm telling you right now, I'm going on vacation, everybody, and I'm going away. And I want to leave you in the good hands of Don Nikoloff and Larry Nichols. I want these two men to take as much time as they can on Mission Possible to discuss this issue. And so we're trying to put it together. It's a time thing. But maybe it'll happen. And if it does, it's going to be wonderful.
And it may. And I talked to Larry about it, and he doesn't like to do late night because it would be 11 o'clock in Arkansas. Well, it was when it's 12 up here in Ohio, it's 11 o'clock down there. And but he is considering it, and I just told him think about it, RJ, and then I would get back to you on that, and Don, because what the people will hear from Larry is information that they will never hear from anybody else ever. Now there's other people that know what Larry knows because he tells you about what they do, so they know what they do. The senators and the congressmen, they know what they do. But Larry will tell you what they do and the corruption that they're in and the things that they are and the perverse people, RJ, they're perverse people.
Oh, I know that, girl.
Don't we know that? Are we not learning that?
Oh, I've known it.
Yes.
I mean, I got thrown out of the Democratic Party because I was saying it. And I couldn't get anybody to believe me. It was like being in a movie, like The Night of the Living Dead, and they just threw me out, locked the door.
Did they? Yeah.
Oh, they did. And
yeah.
Then, I'll tell you, 1992, when that whole thing was running, and they were running, they made it clear that they didn't need the black vote in San Francisco. You know, and they used to come, and the Democrats would spend a lot of money in the churches, and everybody get out to vote, and everybody would work for the campaign. They came to San Francisco and told us, we don't need your help. You know, so I knew something was changing in the Democratic Party, and I know that the Republicans feel the same way on their side, you know. Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you know, and in 92, I was just starting to get interested. Well, having the time. I've always had the interest in my mind and in my heart. It's just that because of raising my children and being very busy raising four sons and working, I had the interest. I just didn't have the time. But that's about the time, and I really have to learn more about that part of our history, that time, because that, I think that's, from what I'm learning, RJ, that's the crucial time of when we really started coming out of conservatives on both sides. We come out of the conservative Democrats, the conservative, so-called the conservative party of the Republicans. They were starting to lose their values, their morals. The Democrats also were too. And here we are.
Oh, there's a close tie between Arkansas and Texas, Carol. Now, I told you that my father, Dangerous George Williams, was born right outside Johnson City, that part of the world, Fort Worth, in that area. And what he has told me and how I understand Arkansas and Texas, this is like two states that should just be the same.
Yes.
And what has happened here is that there is a group of people that got their hands on our government back in when JFK was assassinated. Mm-hmm. A group of Southerners, a group of Southern Governors Conference. And this is where Bill Clinton would get his indoctrination. As a young boy, he would see Winthrop Rockefeller be the governor, the only Republican governor at the time when he was elected in Arkansas. So the powers at B, this is how I speak of Arkansas and how I love it. When you get to people like Jackson Stevens, when you can start talking about Stevens Inc., when you can start talking about the Beverly System, when you can start talking about the power and light companies, when you start to talk about, like they said, Arkansas is the wonder state.
Yes.
You know, and then you look at where Bill Clinton came from, Hot Springs,
yes.
You see, and you then think about the fashionable resort that Hot Springs was, and then you look at that cotton-rich Mississippi Delta and the gambling dens. And then you look at the senators at that time with infamous names when you say Fulbright.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And when you then start to see that the lines between Texas and Arkansas are not that, you know, so definitive that it can't be a melding of minds. And it's there that I believe that this idea of Clinton as a power base, they saw a young man that they could manipulate, a young man whose morals could be corrupted by both man and female,
yes.
That he was the perfect patsy, and that they were going to groom him. And from the very first moment of Watergate, they knew they had to have an Operation Star, and they put all of their money on this man.
Yes, they did.
And he has done what he was supposed to do. And he has brought us to the brink of ruination.
Yes.
And now his wife, which I know this must be Larry's absolute, must be on his mind. In 2004, he was the one who was saying, she's going to run, she's going to run. Well, she did not run, and there was a reason. Because we haven't forgotten. And so now they wait. So now she's from New York. You don't see too much Arkansas no more in the conversation. But the reason why we don't have no money today, and why Citibank and all these BCCI bank scandals and all where Larry seen where all the money was going, we're broke, and these guys are laughing at us. And I think that's why I love Larry so much in terms of what he's trying to do. He's trying to tell us, guys, don't let them get away with it. We can get them, you know. And there is power in numbers.
And you know what? There should be. And you know what, RJ, as many years as Larry has been out there and putting this word out against and putting out the Clinton Chronicles, and there has been, Ronald Reagan's son, Mike Reagan, the one that has the radio program, I'm sure a lot of your listeners know
yeah.
who Michael Reagan is. Mike Reagan wrote a book called Making Way.
Uh-huh.
And in that book, he devoted much of that book to documenting congressional hearings that Larry brought forth and prosecuted many people. But he did it single-handedly. It was Larry that brought the impeachment single-handedly. Larry's name was not in the paper. Larry didn't want to be in the paper, but Larry was there every moment putting that together and seeing to it that it came to the point that it did. And it was only because of Arlen Specter withholding his vote that Bill Clinton was not impeached. Now, here's a Republican senator from Pennsylvania. Why did he need to protect Bill Clinton?
Uh-huh.
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 Mm-hmm. See, those That's are all because... questions. Do you have answers?
You know what, Carol? There is a force working against us here. You are getting dimmer and dimmer. I can hardly hear
you.
You
know what? Hold on. Let me take my headset off and see if that's better.
All right.
Is that better?
Oh, hello, Carol. I can take my finger out of my ear. I have cookies in one ear.
Okay.
That's so
all
much
right,
better,
sometime...
Carol. Let's continue.
Okay.
As you were saying.
All right, but getting back to what is Larry's thrust right now, when he goes on radio programs right now, what he wants to focus on is what is in front of us right now. Of course, he told Hillary to her face, and I want your listeners to know that Hillary knows, I mean, that Larry, and, you know, and really, this is Larry's story. I don't even feel worthy of telling it because this is Larry's story, and it's his exclusively, but... I just want the listeners to get a sense of the connection that he has with Bill and Hillary. He worked with them. He trained them. Larry will tell you that he was on the dark side, and he was part of that dark side. But then he has since repented, and now he's out to warn everybody, the world, the country, America. He can tell you what they're going to do because he programmed them. He wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so that he's the master of this. And but he is so, he knows Hillary like he knows that she would be his sister. I want your audience to know the connection there. It is that, and he told Hillary that to be president, because he knew years ago that that was her goal. You'll go over me or through me. If you're going to be president, you'll either have to go over me or through me. And so I know that when she's out there campaigning, and I have said this to him, I said, Larry, you know, when I see her on television campaigning, I know she is hearing your footprints, your footsteps behind her. Every move she makes, every lie she tells, she hears your footprints no matter where she is or your footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
And she does, because she knows. She knows what she's facing from Larry Nichols.
I know
and
what
so
she's
Bill.
Facing
I mean,
from
so
a
Bill. They
lot
both
of
know.
People if it ever gets out.
They have to deal with Larry.
Yeah.
And he has told this publicly on the air that he will see to it. In fact, when he comes on, I'll let that be his story. I'll let that be his story. But that...
Well, there's enough for us to talk about without having to talk about what he getting ready to do to Hillary, huh?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And also, when he comes on your program, he told us 3-4 months ago, he said, call the people that he was talking to via the airwaves, and he would say, call your congressmen, call your senators, now this was 4 months ago, and tell them that the war in Iraq is over. Tell them it's over. Bring the boys home now. So we were calling down there, and I would tell the staffers, whoever would answer, John, Joe, Alice, whatever, and I'd say, I want you to tell my senator, Sherrod Brown and George Voinovich, that the war is over. And I said, did you know that? Did you know that the war was over? I didn't know who I was talking. Sometimes I ask them for their first name, sometimes I don't. And I would say, did you know that? And they'd say, well, no. And I said, well, I'm calling to inform you. Now, you do your own research on this, but I want to tell you, the war is over. And so we did make those calls. And you know what, RJ? And this is what I tell the people that I see every day when I'm out and about and at work and in stores and wherever I am. I said, you know, have you heard much about the war lately? Have you heard about General Petraeus every day? Have you heard about body counts of our boys every day? Have you heard about the... And they go, you know what? No, really haven't. I said, well, let me tell you why. Because it's over. It's just that our president, he's biting at the bits because he can't tell you the war's over because it's not supposed to be over. But there's a man, Larry Nichols, that you've never heard of before. He's not a household name, but Larry Nichols has been working with Nuri Maliki daily.
Yeah. I thought that was impressive, Carol.
Yes.
Oh, I would say, now that is surviving and thriving.
Yes. And that is why the war is over. And then again, that is the rest of that is Larry's story to tell when he comes on, because it is his story, and he still works with Nuri Maliki and has mentored him, and he's mentored him. Mm-hmm. But again, this is so vital and so important to the world, to the nation, the things that Larry does, that I just don't even like to even step into that territory because it is that volatile, RJ, what Larry does.
Yeah.
And he's recognized all over the world by world leaders. He is respected all over the world by world leaders. They either respect him because they hate him or they respect him because they love him.
Uh-huh.
Because they know of his abilities and what he can do and what he has done. And, you know, I think with your listeners hearing us describe Larry like this and not knowing the man, I don't know, have you ever asked your listeners to just do a search on the Clinton Chronicles and have them just start there?
Well, yeah, that's exactly how I talk to my listeners, Carol.
Okay.
I let them do their homework for themselves.
Yes.
So
yes.
They are very good at sitting at their computer while they're listening to this show and typing into the search engine the things that we are saying so they can check it. I have always said, and I say this to my listeners a lot, that a true teacher is someone who is disinterested in whether you learn what it is we are saying. And it's important that you do your homework And so having you on the show and you just mentioning these things and like an educator, and again, I'm going to discourse with you on your idea of what is really wrong as to how come we are being snowed so easily in the political scene. You were speaking to me today, and I'd like for you to just a little take the heat off you about Larry and put it on the kind of things that you talk about so eloquently. And that is our education of our children in terms
That's
of
right.
political science. I thought
right.
you might want to.
Yes, and I do, because I'll tell you, I didn't tell you this today, but I too, RJ, I have my own two-hour radio program once a week on the Internet. And, you know, somebody else can do it. It's like, somebody else, please do it. I mean, I have other things that I would like to do and get involved in here in my local, back here in my state. Please take, but the name of my program is Americans for Truth Online Classroom, and that's how I try to have when the listeners come in. We're in a classroom.
Say
and you bring,
that
and you,
slowly, Carol. Say it
huh?
again, very slowly.
Okay. I'll talk slower?
No. I mean, say the name of your online.
Oh.
Give yourself a plug here, Carol.
Oh, okay. Americans for Truth Online Classroom. Actually, I think if you do a search on it on the net, it's just Americans for Truth, because I added the online classroom probably a couple of months after we got started. I always wanted it to be a classroom format, but and it's on republicradio.com, and I'm on Wednesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My first hour, RJ, is to, and this is why I got the program. And I, you know, please, somebody else, take this from me. You know, because, again, I do. I have other things that, but it was just burning inside of me. I was getting very angry watching. I, too, was indoctrinated because, and then as I have done my research and, again, to your listeners, and this is what I tell the classroom, do your own research. I'll give you the documentation that I have, but all you have to do is go back to the Communist Manifesto. Read, and there's an FBI agent. His name is Cleon Skousen. He was an FBI agent. In 1968, in our congressional records was placed the 45 current communist goals. But all you have to do is just do a key search, a word search on the 45 current communist goals. It'll come right up, print it out, go down all 45 of them, and tell me which ones have not come to pass. And it all starts with the Communist Manifesto that Marx and Lenin and Engels wrote in, what was it, 1848? Mm-hmm. And guess what? They were chased across Europe because they were trying to get this started in their manifesto to present it to Europe. Well, Europe, the police in Europe chased them out. Well, guess where they landed? In America, mm-hmm. during the Civil War. Now, I'm not going to take it any further than that. I just want your listeners, however interested they are, but this is where communism, socialism, entered into America. And
and I remember when you get all up in there to right around 1920, that's when it all started kind of going kaplooky,
right.
and that's where it gets
right.
kind of interesting, because
that's right.
I believe that this whole idea of fascism versus communism versus democracy is where we need to all be talking about, because I don't think Americans are well acquainted with the difference between fascism, communism, and democracy, you know?
No, RJ. Because as the so-called professors started infiltrating, as they had the communist professors infiltrate our institutions of higher learning, i.e. the universities and the colleges, they started there first so that they could train the teachers and indoctrinate them. And then they brought it into the public school system, which now we call the government system. And that is when we stop learning about our wonderful American history, the real truth about our founding fathers, the building of this nation, the wonderful quotes of this nation. And if anybody's really interested in something that'll really hit you between the eyes, do just go and get the Declaration of Independence and read the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. And you know what? Never was that ever presented to me in school. I put four sons through high school. They haven't got a clue what the preamble reads. They never were told to read it. It was never presented to them in any way.
But well, you know why? Because the corporate America gave us a bill of goods instead of a bill of rights. And
absolutely. And this is my zeal, my zest for having this program on the internet, is to just let the people know what they were never supposed to know. That we were only brought down to only learning how to spell four-letter words. And you know, when I look back, RJ, and listeners, when I read back into the printed publications of prior to 1900, the wording, the words that they used, they were beautiful. We're down to four-letter words.
Yeah.
That most of us, not us, but the 20-year-olds and under can't spell the four-letter words either.
Yeah.
RJ.
And they got a big decision to make.
But it's time to wake up. And this is what I, as a matter of fact, I won't repeat the experience that I had with that young girl in the print shop the other day.
Sure.
Should I?
Yeah.
You know what? This is a, how would you call it?
A real slice of life.
It
a wake-up call
is.
For a lot of
and
people.
And you know what? I want your listeners, and this is what I tell my, you know, this is what I tell my class also. And it's not my class. It's the classroom. And I keep telling them, get a book on this subject. Here's what I do. Here's my format. The first hour is our history. The first half hour is American history. Our forefathers. The second half hour then is our enemy, and that is totally communism. Then the second hour, then I have a guest on that is willing to tell the truth also about what they know about what we have not been allowed to be told. And you know what? And I do have to hit on the teachers, RJ. I have to expose the teachers, and bless their hearts. They were indoctrinated too. So in a way, you know, they're not the total blame, but they've got to wake up. The NEA, you know, the National Education Association, you're not going to get more socialistic. I have printouts of some of their meetings starting back in 1929.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they will, as a matter of fact, I don't even have it on hand now. I have it tucked away in a folder. I wish I would. I didn't even know how much talking I was going to be doing on here, RJ, because
as much as you like. I told you, I'm a talk show host who likes to have people talk to me sometimes. Get kind of lonely out here just talking by myself.
Let me see if I can't just flip through here.
You do that, and I'll identify myself.
Go ahead.
We are listening to Mission Possible Radio Show, and I'm talking to Kel, and this is bbsradio.com. I'm telling you, y'all are getting an earful. While she's looking that up, I'm going to tell you, I'm in pursuit of a guest. Yes, I have been trying to get Mr. Nichols to be my guest on this show, and I know I'm going to have it happen. If I have to change my time, if I have to pick up another show or buy another time where I can have four shows together where he's up and he might even be in his jammies. He can do the show in his jammies, and he can do the show laying down in his bed if he wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I just want to talk to him because I think if me and him talk, I think America, all of you will wake up and you
yes.
will see. I'm not for Obama either. I'm not for any lawyers. No, I don't want no more poverty lawyers.
No.
I don't want no more defense lawyers. I don't
no.
want no lawyers. I don't want no POWs. I want some real serious Americans who are about doing some serious changing in this world and ready to go after everybody that ain't doing what they need to do to ensure our future. And that's why Boss RJ, that's why I call myself Boss RJ, I said, this is a political thing, and politics is a science of citizenship, and that's what Larry Nichols and Carol is trying to tell you. This ain't no neat story. This is a very ugly thing, but we can stop ugly in its tracks. We can stop this good old boy nepotism, this foul way in which we select our peoples. We can have a more saner way and a more saner America. So, America, wake up. And that's
America,
what I'm trying
up.
To do. I'm
America,
trying to see if we can get Larry to say some things to my listeners so that they can get fired up and help.
Yes, and it is. It's
don't
find
your things?
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, they've got to, and this is another thing that I encourage the classroom to do is to, you know, in the morning when you wake up, go, you know, I guess if you want to stay Republican and if you want to stay Democrat, well, okay, I'm not going to try to talk you out of that. But go down and then volunteer in your local county Republican Party office. Get to meet them. Get to know them. Get to see the inside. Get to see what's going on down there. You know, get to meet them. Shake their hands. Have lunch with them. Answer that telephone. Get involved. Get involved. And go to those council, go to those boring council meetings. Get to know who that. If my city is run by a city council, and I happen to appreciate it. Larry disagrees with me, but I appreciate the city council. We don't have a mayor for we don't elect a mayor. But get involved in your city council. Know who's who and what's going on. Because I'll tell you what, if you don't relate, then why would I fight for America if I'm not in touch with her, if I'm not in touch with her roots, if I don't feel like part of her heritage? Why do I care? I'm just here working my head off trying to make a living. That's all the Americans are concerned about now, because it was not passed down from generation to generation to have the love and respect and the awe that our forefathers sacrificed and went through to develop this nation of freedom, and of, like you said, of the people, by the people, for the people. Okay? And it's, don't listen to RJ, don't listen to me, listen to us and take our encouragement, please. Let us motivate you to get involved. Not listen every day to what RJ has to say, not to listen every week to see what Carol's going to talk about tonight. Because I can, you know, if that's all I'm going to do, and that's what Larry tells you. You know what? I don't come on the air to entertain.
Oh, no, I hope it's to educate.
Educate.
And enlighten.
And make you angry. And I'll tell you what I'm about to read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just a small paragraph of communism that I was indoctrinated in school. And then, but here's just a little excerpt of some things. Okay. After President Harry S. Truman introduced Sir Julian Huxley to the UNESCO, Huxley's UNESCO, and I'll give you that acronym in a minute. All right, but let me start over again. In 1948, after President Harry S. Truman introduced Sir Julian Huxley's UNESCO into the public school system in 1946, Huxley, an original social progressive, when they were simply called communists, issued a scholastic directive entitled Classrooms with Children Under 12 Years of Age. Okay, so now what I just said was that we had Sir William Huxley. Now, folks, do just a search on Sir Julian Huxley. You'll get all that you need to know and understand about what he did. All right, now, what he did, he issued a scholastic directive entitled Classrooms with Children Under the Age of 12, which accused parents of school-age children of harming their children by instilling in them a Christian ethic and a patriotic pride. Huxley observed that before children entered school, his mind had already been profoundly marked, and often injuriously, by earlier influences first gained in the home. Later in the text, Huxley noted that, quote, It is frequently the family that infects the child with extreme nationalism. The school should therefore use the means described earlier to combat family attitudes. Among the worst things that infect the family, Huxley reiterated, were religion and patriotism. Huxley, like the social progressives of today, blamed the parents for being bad influences by teaching their children Christianity, morality, and patriotism. And that all the teachers who teach, then this is what the NEA, and this is what our colleges and our professors, when you go to school to get your teacher's teaching certificate, that you are taught to teach amorality, atheism, and globalism. And then it goes on. But I just wanted to introduce your listeners to Julian Huxley and John Dewey.
Mm-hmm. And we know what effect those people have had.
Yes.
And the hold they have had.
Yes.
In the inner sanctums that they have set that dictate America's direction.
Yes.
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 And I bet Larry knows it, too.
Oh, he does, absolutely.
Now, what was Larry's background now? He was marketing, but what was he raised up to be? What was it before he even got into that special position with Bill? What is his degree?
Military.
Huh?
Military.
In the military?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He served in Nam.
He served in Vietnam?
Yes, he served in Vietnam.
How old is Larry?
He's 57. He just turned
57. Okay, mm-hmm. My age.
Mm-hmm. He turned, he's a Vietnam veteran. And
so he came back from the war, and he got himself, went back. He's always been an Arkansas boy.
Always been an Arkansas boy.
And that's pretty much where he stayed all his life.
Well, he worked for the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a lot of work for the CIA, FBI. There's not much of the government that Larry wasn't. See, this is why, I mean, he knows that he walked the halls of Congress. He was down in the well of the Senate and the House. He ran many campaigns of congressmen, senators, governors. He knows about the electoral system. He will tell you that he is quite capable of changing any voting machine that he walks past. Now, he doesn't do it anymore, but he will tell you that he used to.
Uh-huh.
And that he knows how easily it's done, and he knows that it is done. He used to do it.
So that would be a reason. Now saying that, because these are things that I didn't know about him, this would be a reason why I would see him being in Arkansas, and them assuming that he's a good old boy.
That's right, he was.
And that he got it. I want the listeners to know that the thing that made me most impressed is why I responded to the guest potential. And I really want to say to everybody out there, if you believe that you are guest worthy, if you believe you have somebody that is worthy of it, do like Carol did, and send it in to bbsradio.com. And get on that newsletter and get your person out there and what you believe or your cause. There's a lot of hosts on bbsradio.com that will accommodate you. And
yes.
I tell you, there's power in this and in the ability to have access to the archives and play them back for your friends and family. As you can see, I'm not going to mask it. I'm here in my house, and my dog is going crazy because somebody at the door.
And you know what? So does Larry's. When he's on the air, he has three dogs, and he has an English bulldog.
Yes.
And you hear them barking every once in a while, too. And Larry will say, see, he didn't like what I said either.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he loves his dogs.
Yeah.
And, actually, he loves his animals. So
we're talking about a man, and what I'm saying here is that when Boss R.J. talks about indicting the American government, I'm talking about the shadow government. I'm not talking about, and that's what I think where, Carol, you understand, too, is that we're talking about that secret government, the one that put the Iran-Contra together, the one that put the Watergate together, the one that put the Clinton and the Travelgate and all the other gates, and the one that can kill Vince Foster, the one that can do away with the Secretary of Commerce without anybody caring. Again, the levels of violence, Waco, all of these things were brought to us by a man from Arkansas.
Yes.
And I only think that it could be a man that can save us from Arkansas, because,
that's
yes,
right.
It is true. You know,
he's
if you want to be an accomplice, that's one thing. If you're going
to
be a whistleblower, that's another. If you're going to be a great American hero, then you're available. And it is up to all of you out there to hear and to tell your friends that they need to get in touch and to stay in touch. And like she says, he's not out to entertain you. That's not what we're looking for here.
No.
We're dealing with real serious stuff here. This is stuff that is going to send people to jail, to prison. That is why it's so, why buildings are coming down and jet fuel can bring down towers. And what's Larry's slant on that? Or what's your feeling about that?
About
911.
About the towers?
Yes.
You know what, RJ?
Get on record, Carol. What do you think happened? Do you believe it was jet fuel?
You know, RJ, it happened by those 19 that were allowed in. And the thing is, that's what the 9/11, that's the cover-up of the 9/11. That 9/11 commission,
uh-huh.
That whole commission in itself was corrupt.
Oh.
And a lot has not been told about that. And I'm hoping and praying that someday that will come out. And what was shut down and what was not allowed to be said, what was not allowed to be told, and the FBI agents that tried to warn, and then Hillary's Jamie Gorelick. There's Jamie Gorelick, who's an attorney who was part of that 9/11 commission. The whole thing was corrupt. Now, because the truth was suppressed. And, you know, it's not that the buildings came down. It's why, what brought it to that point where it was allowed to happen.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's where Larry comes in again.
That's right.
Because in those buildings were a lot of stockbrokers, a lot of people that had done a lot of deals, a lot of people who knew. And it wasn't going to go any further. There was a lot of indictments, justice, and I know.
Yes.
That America needs to really understand how it is that they could take us out. All they have to do, if they want to do their history, is just read Machiavelli, chapter 18. You have to be willing to sacrifice your own citizens for the good of the state. And this is, again, we're not talking about America, we're talking about the shadow government.
That's right.
That's what I believe Larry Nichols is in a dispute with, is the shadow government. And he knows who casts that shadow.
I'm
hoping that
he told the power he calls them the puppet masters. We might call them the CFR. We might call them the trilateral. Some of us call them something different. Larry calls them the puppet masters.
That's why I hope I hope you send and forward him that artistic impression the boss had, and to let him know that was back in 1997. So that might
He knows them. I mean, he knows them. He didn't read about them. He didn't hear about them.
Yeah.
RJ, he knows them. They know him. And again, this is so important to the world at large. It's so important to America that I just want to go on record as saying that it is so much, Larry, that I am not qualified to even speak about what I know, because what I speak are his words, his teachings to me, and the things that I am really quoting things that he has said publicly, but they are so much him and his words. You're familiar with the Commandante letter, RJ?
No, enlighten me.
Does that name Miriam Bell with you? Okay. Larry was very, very, very involved with Ollie North and the Contra, you know, and the
the Commandant. Oh, yes.
Larry delivered that letter. He intercepted that letter. I will let him tell you the story of how he got that letter that was being curried by two indigenous natives in South America, and how he got his hands on that letter. And it's just there's nothing in history that since Larry's been alive since the age of 15 that his hands or fingerprints are not on it.
Hmm.
I know.
Yes, yes, yes. We
I
are
know.
Living history. That's the whole idea of Mission Possible. It's the way I like to go. That's why I know if Larry and when Larry is ready to talk, yeah, I am going to work it out. Now, I wanted it to be these next four shows. I was going to leave
yes.
Don Nikoloff in charge, and you guys can get to it. If not, it can be any time he decides to pick up the phone, and he knows what time our shows are on.
Yes.
And begin to speak. April 22nd is our next primary, and we'll probably decide this whole idea of our election 2008.
Yeah.
And in that time, I don't want to be an accomplice.
No, I don't either.
Okay.
Yes.
I want to be a whistleblower.
Yes.
And I believe that. The conversation that Larry has for America and for all Americans and all people all over the world is one of hope.
Yes,
that, yes, let us
yes.
band together. That there's so few of them.
Yes.
In terms of how many good people. I say all the time, good people living everywhere. They're right here in your face right now.
That's right.
And we need to be safe as we say these things, but we also need to say them. And there are no guarantees. And like you said, that was the first question I was going to ask Larry, but it's kind of silly to ask. Yeah. How are you still alive? How did they let you stay alive when these people are just so murderous? I mean, when you think about
they
Arkansas, I think shotguns.
Well, they've made many, many attempts. Many attempts. He has many scars and bullet wounds and many.
Okay. So here goes, Mission Possible listeners. We are, me and Carol, asking you
yes.
to do your homework,
yes.
to type Larry Nichol
yes.
into the search engine. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time explaining to you about Mena, Arkansas.
Right.
I didn't want to explain to you about Barry Seals.
Yes.
I don't want to explain to you about Kevin Eyes. I don't want to explain to you about Don Harmon. I don't want to explain to you about Dan Lasseter. And I tell you, Larry don't have a whole lot of time to be explaining it to you
right.
either. What
right.
we want to do is bring you up to date
yes.
on where all these people are today, who is still in power, who's manipulating, and we
yes.
want to explain to you why Bush and Clinton seem to walk hand in hand through
yes.
life today
yes.
as if they were Siamese twins.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And there's a reason for that, and I'm sure Larry can explain that to us, too.
Yeah, and just to, again, remind your listeners what we said at the beginning of the program, and that is to do a search on The Clinton Chronicles, or it just Clinton Chronicles. I think it runs an hour, 22 minutes or something.
Yes,
and
get the
yeah.
transcript, too, because this is something you want to see,
yes.
but it's also something that you can then read.
Yes.
So look for the transcript, too. Have
yes,
you seen the
absolutely.
Transcript?
Absolutely. And let's see, I think you just mentioned something, too, that I wanted to go back on.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, you were mentioning all the players down there in Arkansas. And he knows he knows every one of them. And the Stevens. It's interesting. He doesn't mind going over that again because they'll say, well, how did you get involved with the Clintons? And that story is very interesting. I mean, and he needs to tell it. It's his story. And I mean, it's just, and the fact that right now, and like you said, I mean, you will try to do anything you can if you have to change hours or whatever. But when I did mention Larry realized that his time, it would be 11 p.m. his time, that was a little bit better for him to think about. And I had such a pleasure of being on here tonight, and so that I will tell him my experience too, RG. I just feel so comfortable and with you being the host, so...
Oh, I am easy. He will be putty in my hand. But I will tell you, Carol, that I will be prepared
yeah.
to ask the questions. And I do believe that now that you've given me this little bit of intelligence in terms of his background, it makes more sense for me that we can even get into it even better. And I am so sorry. I'm telling my people out here for the first time, I'm going to be going to Asia. Now, I know that this is worldwide, and if I can work it out to know where I'm going to be, I may have to just do my show, because BBF will call me anywhere in the world. I've had people on from Australia and other places.
Yeah.
So the boss is going to try and work this out this week with Don Newsom and the whole characters. Probably if I pay my bill, they'll probably bend over backwards for me. So I'm going to try and send them some money, too, so we can get it. Nah, I'm only kidding about that. But what I'm going to do is stay in touch with you, Carol.
Okay, great.
Through the week.
Great.
You can get into the archives there, and I will send you a link so that you can send Larry the show, and or he can get into the archive. I'll send him a link so he can listen to the show. And I will also prepare a email that I'm going to send to you that you can then forward to him. I like going through you because it feels good. There's something about you that's very magical, and I like the way you say it, because that's how I met my sensei in terms of communications, in terms of the truth, was Danger Stories Williams. He was from Texas. And the things that he told me about F. Lee Bailey and about that day in Dallas it just makes sense to me as a child. I remember him talking about things. I remember my adoptive father talking to me about Anastasia back in 57. So we know there's a connection between all of this, and we know that Arkansas is very close to Texas, and they run into you. So let's paint a picture of a true America so that we can habilitate her and make her the great country that she can be, and that we can survive
America. And the thing is, unless we know what we have lost, because our generations, we don't know what we've lost because it was not there for us to see. So we have to even learn about it and gain a love for what we didn't even know we had. And then we'd be willing to fight to restore her and restore our school system. And I don't know, where are you, RJ, on? You know what? How long are you on?
Me?
Yeah.
How long am I on?
Yeah, okay, you said there's no one after you right now, so you...
I try to run a tight show because, you know, I want to syndicate the shows in terms of having control over the hour, and, you know, you can do the 55 minutes. But right now we're like 5 minutes over over the time, and it is getting late.
Yes.
I could go on forever with you. I think that you're just a whiz-bang, and I'm going to definitely... And one more time, could you give your website where you are so that everybody can get to school?
Sure. Okay, and it's Republic Radio, all one word, republicradio.com. And I'm on Wednesdays evenings, Eastern Standard Time, 7 to 9. And when you just, when you get on there, when you get on the website, like every other website, click on Listen Live, and the Winamp player will come up, and there I'll be. And then you can email me. Once you get on and get in, then I'll give you my email address. Then you can send me a comment or questions or whatever. So republicradio.com. Carol
Sounds
Chaplin.
Really interesting.
Carol Chaplin. And 7 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. Okay? And, RJ, you know what? It's so nice to meet up with another host that has the same heart and the mind and the mission. To get the truth out. Just get the truth out.
The mission is possible.
It is possible.
It is possible.
Yeah.
And with that, let's say goodnight to our listeners.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Talk to you later, RJ.
All right. I'll be talking to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. That's it. I'm out of here. I want you to have... I'm going to be in Asia next week. I'll try and call you. If not, I'm going to leave some whiz-bang people in charge. So you listen to Mission Possible Radio. Listen to Inside Hour on Tuesdays with Dr. Len Horowitz, and every day of the week in your day with Evident Footprints with Don Nikoloff. Aloha!